The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, I'm trying to figure out if I can sing like a children's song for this. Welcome back. Hope you had a good weekend. K, B, C, D, E, F, G. Right. You know that one, right? Don't you? K, B, C, D, E, F, G. Let's see. By ML Webb. B is for bi. G is for gay. L is for lesbian. Just some school books out there, some children's books that you need to be aware of. So we're going to get to that because I want you to have a little call to action there for you and for your family and for your your sons and daughters, maybe grandchildren, because this is increasing out there, that type of information. Public libraries, and then, of course, it's working its way into the public school system. So we'll get into that. I want to talk about that. We'll talk a little Pope Fauci. The more you read, I'm like, what's the point of getting the vaccination? What's the point with the way a lot of this is going? Some good news out of the Supreme Court for a change. Although John Roberts, Chief Justice John Roberts, is just a disgrace, an embarrassment at this point. So we'll talk about that. And then BLM. So last year, BLM Inc., not the notion, the general idea that Black Lives Matter. If you're a Christian, of course they do. And in context, by the way. Dealing with the reality of racial insensitivity, racism, even to the point where you have racist things built into the system from the past. You can make a pretty good case on that here and there. It's not as widespread and as deep as a lot of people think it is, according to my own research and my opinion. But it's still out there. But BLM Inc., which is radical, anti-family, anti-male, anti-Christian, pro-Marxist, pro-socialism. But have you ever noticed that the people that lead these Marxist socialist movements tend to live pretty large? They decry capitalism, but live like the best of them. Okay? Do as I say, not as I do. Nothing new under the sun there. Thank you, Solomon. So we'll talk about that because the co-founder, Patrice Kahn Cullors, is just turning into a little real estate magnate. So we'll talk about that. And fortunately, some people in BLM are pushing back, which I really appreciate. So a lot of different stories there I want to get through and stuff to pay attention to. Then we'll do a little Money Monday update at the end of the show in the fourth segment. And so there's always so much going on. I mean, like, I go away for a few days and the news just keeps coming fast and furious. And so let me, as we go into this, and sometimes we talk to authors, we do different things, the Theology Thursday, different things are going on. But I'm always paying attention to the news. And the news, we could play news talk radio 5 days a week. Right? That's easy to do. I can do that kind of almost instinctively at this point after 13 years of doing radio, 14 years of doing radio, whatever it is, something like that. But really, if you can't put a Christian worldview spin onto it, I would call it a correct filter, then you're just going to lose your mind. So if we can talk about these stories and what's going on in the news and what's going on in our culture and get mad and upset and frustrated and angered and disgusted and all that stuff. But in the end, what good does it do you as a Christian? Just to complain? We're supposed to count it all joy when we suffer. Trials and tribulations of any and all kinds. And so when your country's going through what our country's going through, you know, yeah, lament, be angry about it. But what do you do with that? That's the real question. Do you just stew? That's not healthy. It's not even Christian to just sit around and there's a time and a place for lament. We weep with those who weep. We mourn with those who mourn. So when you see a police shooting, anything like that goes on, please. And I have to work on this all the time myself. My first reaction cannot be, it should not be political. It shouldn't be right or left. It should be biblical, not political, but biblical. And just like Jesus looks out over the masses and he weeps because he saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd. Oh, Jerusalem, how I long to bring you under my wings. And the very people he came for rejected him. And Jesus lamented over that. He wept, just like he wept over his friend Lazarus' death, even though it was temporary. And then what do we do? So let's try to all work on reacting biblically before we react politically. Okay, so let's keep that in mind as we go through these stories. And again, I struggle with my flesh, and I struggle with being really snarky and smart-alecky, and I get frustrated, and I get angry, and I call names, and I think things that I probably would never say on the air about people involved in these stories. But man, I'm going to keep bringing myself around and you around to think biblically before we think politically. Not that our biblical thinking shouldn't then manifest itself in the political realm. It does. Our gospel thinking, our biblical thinking should manifest itself in every area of life, every nook and cranny. So let's start with that, and then we can go down these other roads. Okay, so that's the challenge as we go through, and like today, for three segments, look at that, the news of the day. Okay, this is from The Federalist, and another follow-up with another story. In Fox News, Pope Fauci, we did a long show the other day, last week, with Steve Dace. It's excellent. Go listen to that. We were talking about the Faucian bargain, which is number one on Amazon, number one on the Wall Street Journal, and number one, and now it's like number five at Barnes & Noble. So God's really using the Faucian bargain written by Steve Dace. And one other guy, they just did a great job. It's just the facts, okay? Facts don't care about your feelings, so you should get that and read it. The Faucian bargain, Steve Dace, D-E-A-C-E. So we talked a lot about Fauci last week. So here's this. Americans will never vaccinate if Fauci's retort to normalcy is always, no, it's still not okay. Like, what do you think? What are you thinking? April, we're going to get back to normal? Now is it May? Is it June? Will we ever? That's my question. I really don't think we will at this point. I don't think a lot of places, a lot of businesses are going to walk away from the mask thing. I don't think they are. Schools are increasingly going to do that. We had this story on Friday. Written by two doctors that showed up in the New York Daily News, make vaccination a prerequisite for college kids next fall. You can't come back unless you're vaccinated. That movement's going to keep happening. Will we get vaccine passports? I think eventually. This is in The Federalist, stated today. Although Governor Gretchen Whitmer loves it enough to have it cross-stitched on a pillow, Anthony Fauci's face is hated by many Americans around the country. He reminded us why, yet again, when his face made an appearance on MSNBC over the weekend. What is the message to vaccinated and unvaccinated Americans as to what they should and should not be doing right now? For example, eating and drinking indoors in restaurants and bars, is that okay now? Asked host Mehdi Hasan. Quote, no, Fauci said, it's still not okay for the simple reason that the level of infection, the dynamics of infection in the community are still really disturbingly high. Fauci replied, like just yesterday, there were close to 80,000 new infections and we've been hanging around 60, 70, 75,000. What? But we're doing better. Numbers are down. Hospitalizations almost to nothing. Death rates plummeted. When's enough? I'm telling you right now, according to Pope Fauci, because he loves the power, that's never. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. Hope you had a great weekend talking about Pope Fauci and what's the point of vaccinating. So he was on MSNBC over the weekend and he was coming back and said, no, even if you get vaccinated, eating and drinking indoors in restaurants and bars, is that okay now? The guy asked. No, it's not, he said, because it's still things. Numbers are still disturbingly high. At what point, Mr. Fauci, will the numbers be low enough? Because here's the problem, friends. Welcome back. This is Steve Noble. The problem is, if you think, stop wearing a mask when it gets down to zero. It's not going to be zero, ever. It will not be zero. It's appointed for men to die once and then face the judgment. You're going to die. And I'm not saying be an idiot. Obviously, we're responsible for the life that we've been given. But if people are thinking, I'm gonna wear the mask and play by all these rules until COVID's gone, it's not going to be gone. We have viruses and microbiology issues everywhere all the time, which is why the immune system needs to be strengthened, not weakened, which we've been weakening it by hiding and wearing masks. Fauci's initial response, this was in The Federalist, was to be expected. What with all this community spread scaremongering that has kept children home from school for a year, even as case numbers and deaths have plummeted. But the infectious disease expert couldn't leave it at that. He took it one step further. One more step, more invasive, more intrusive, and more domineering. So if you're not vaccinated, please get vaccinated as soon as vaccine becomes available to you. And if you are vaccinated, this is Fauci, over the weekend. Please remember that you still have to be careful and not get involved in crowded situations, particularly indoors where people are not wearing masks, Fauci said. And for the time being, until we show definitely that a person who's vaccinated does not get this subclinical infection and can spread the others, you should also continue to wear a mask. There it is, folks. The standard mixed messaging that has characterized all the ruling class COVID's blather. In other words, Fauci's message to you peasants is to get the vaccine ASAP, but also don't change anything about your life once you're vaccinated. And please wear a mask or two and stay away from friends, family, and brunch forever and ever. Amen. And the Federalists. It's enough to drive people up a wall. No kidding. Finally, after a year of seemingly endless sacrifices and insufferable rules and restrictions, nearly 121 million Americans. Now, listen, this is very important. Nearly 120 million Americans have received at least one dose of the vaccine, including nearly 80% of Americans 65 and older, meaning the majority of those actually vulnerable to death by COVID are almost out of the woods. And while the purported rationale for the heavy-handedness was to flatten the curve, the trend line for case numbers and death looks like the stomach-dropping plunge on Kinda Ka. That's a roller coaster. Yet we're still told, no, it's still not okay. Not okay to eat or drink. Not okay to worship freely. Not okay to breathe without a mask. Not okay to travel. What's this? What's the deal? It's all about power. Once you've had it, you don't easily give it up. Former Trump White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows linked to the clip from this weekend with Fauci and said Democrats had zero intention of giving back their newfound control, even if you're vaccinated. Exactly. He's doing harm at this point, Fox News contributor Guy Benson tweeted. In some unscripted remarks at Mar-a-Lago over the weekend, former President Donald Trump joked to a Republican donor gathering that Fauci would probably soon advise people to wear five masks. Quote, have you ever seen anybody that is so full of CRAP? Question mark. Unquote. Trump wondered. Yeah, things are continuing to push back against Fauci, but you still have the majority of Americans that are operating out of fear. And so they just go along with it. And not thinking, not investigating, just following. Okay? All right, so they're talking about religious, you know, shutting down worship and all that kind of stuff, which is still going on. And up in Canada, they're absolutely making an example of the one pastor up there. I'll give you more information on that later this week. Supreme Court, so here's where, if you know your rights and you fight, you can still win. Supreme Court rules against California's limits on in-home religious gatherings. The U.S. Supreme Court, in a divided decision last Friday, ruled in favor of lifting restrictions on in-home religious gatherings, overturning a lower court ruling that upheld Governor Gavin Newsom's limits on people from different homes. The decision noted it was the fifth time the courts had rejected the Ninth Circuit's analysis of California coronavirus restrictions. Chief Justice John Roberts dissented. Chief Justice John Roberts, who's an embarrassment, a disgrace, a turncoat. I have no idea why. He just is. A massive disappointment. The ruling stated that before it can limit religious gatherings, the government must prove they pose a greater danger than secular activities that remain open, such as shopping or attending movies. You can go to a movie with a certain percentage of people, but you can't have a home church. Can't do that. Because you Christians are trouble. Otherwise, from the decision, precautions that suffice for other activities suffice for religious exercise, too. It's just logical, isn't it? The majority opinion said, adding that California, quote, treats some comparable secular activities more favorably than at-home religious exercises, permitting hair salons, retail stores, personal care services, movie theaters, private suites at sporting events, and concerts and indoor dining at restaurants to bring together more than three households at a time. The majority opinion added that the state can't, quote, assume the worst when people go to worship, but assume the best when people go to work. Whoa. There you go. Treating Christianity as a separate class. What kind of class, Steve? That would be a lower class. It's the caste system right here in good old America. The country that was born out of religious liberty and freedom. So much for that. The lawsuit had been brought by residents in Santa Clara County who hold in-home religious meetings and claim the restrictions infringed on their constitutional rights, and they would be right. So thank goodness, just you got to be willing to fight. If you just go, oh gosh, okay, then you give up your rights. And we're commanded to gather one with the other, right? Don't neglect the gathering together of the saints. The government says, you can't gather anymore. Now I've got a problem between government authority and what the scripture is telling me. And for a little while, fine, we'll stop meeting. Okay, till we figure out what's going on here. I get it. I'm with you. Love your neighbor. But after a while, they turn love your neighbor into enslave your neighbor, be afraid of your neighbor, snitch on your neighbor. None of which you can baptize biblically, obviously. And that's where it's gone. Okay? Do as I say, not as I do. Oh, by the way, remember, it's true of all of us, by the way, at some point. Remember when Fauci was doing he turned a direction on the whole mask thing. And then he showed up and embarrassed himself by throwing out the first pitch. I mean, if you can't throw a baseball, don't throw out the first pitch. I think it was a Yankees game or something. And then they caught him in the out in the crowd, out in the stands, watching the game. Shh, don't tell anybody. Without a mask on. That's just like all these social media influencers and people like that. Our daughter talks about this all the time, our 16-year-old. She's like, these people are such hypocrites. They cut all these PSAs and they're telling everybody, wear a mask, wear a mask, wear a mask. And then the paparazzi catches them somewhere not wearing a mask. Do as I say, not as I do. Perfect example in this story, which I'm only going to start, and then we'll get into it some more. And then we'll get to the gay BCs before we get to David Fisher, our good friend from Landmark Capital. At the end of the show, inside BLM's co-founder Patrice Khan Cullors' million-dollar real estate buying bench. This is from the New York Post. As protests broke out across the country in the name of Black Lives Matter, the group's co-founder went on a real estate buying bench, snagging four high-end homes for $3.2 million in the U.S. alone, according to property records. So we'll dive into this a little bit. And then there's a few other people in BLM, praise the Lord, that are like, hey, this isn't about the cash. This is about the movement, calling her out. And then what's BLM doing in places like, I don't know, Rochester, where the murder rate's going through the ceiling? They're not doing much there either. So we got to talk about that. We will when we come back. Steely Dan might actually be some cool background music when you're bebopping around in the hills of L.A. looking for a place to live. Kind of cool groove, got the top down, the wind in your face, $91 million in your organization's bank account, and you're on top of the world, baby. Hey, welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Sorry, I'm being remarkably snarky. Back to this story, because this is, you just knew this was bound to happen. Okay, and this is the history of movements like Marxism and socialism, is the people that are running the movement live large. Everybody else lives like a peasant or a plebeian, but the leaders live large. So it's do as I say, not as I do. In this case, BLM co-founder Patrice Khan Cullors. You know what? This is all right. I need to do this for my own sake. Probably need to do it for yours as well. Would you let's just pray, shall we? Father God, I don't know much about Patrice. I know that she had a tough background. I know that she's a lesbian. I know that she claims Marxism. I know she takes a lot of positions that are obviously against your word. But Lord, you died on a cross as much for her as you did for me. And I don't understand how she ended up where she's at or how she believes what she believes. But you love her. To me, she's usually just a person in a story that makes me mad. But and I'm sure you're disappointed in her as you are in all of us. But you love her still. And you love us. And such were some of you, Paul said. And we all have our own rap sheet. So I don't know anything about her or her girlfriend, whatever, or the other people that lead BLM. But they certainly don't appear to know you. So that's my prayer. That somehow, some way, you would bring them to the end of themselves. And they would be on their knees, facing the creator of the universe, and would cry out in confession and repentance and be saved and be born again. And then it would just be so cool to watch what happens after that. But I just lift them up to you, Lord. We talk about them. We get mad. We make fun of them. We don't often pray for them. I know I don't. So we just lift them up to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Patrice Khan Cullors, 37, also eyed property in the Bahamas and an ultra-exclusive resort where Justin Timberlake and Tiger Woods both have homes. The Post has learned this at the New York Post. Luxury apartments and townhomes at the beachfront Albany Resort outside Nassau are priced between $5 million and $20 million. Whoa. The self-described Marxist last month purchased a $1.4 million home on a secluded road a short drive from Malibu in Los Angeles. Some fellow activists were taken aback by the real estate revelations, as they should be. Hawk Newsom, the head of Black Lives Matter Greater New York City, called for, quote, an independent investigation to find out how the global network spends its money. Quote, if you go around calling yourself a socialist, you have to ask how much of her own personal money is going to charitable causes, he said. It's really sad because it makes people doubt the validity of the movement and overlook the fact that it's the people that carry this movement. Hmm. Last year, Khan Colors and spouse Janaya Khan ventured to Georgia to acquire a fourth home. This is all in the last 3 years. Okay, they bought four houses. A custom ranch on 3.2 rural acres in Conyers, featuring a private airplane hangar with a studio apartment above it and the use of a 2,500-foot paved grass community runway that can accommodate small airplanes. Khan Colors began her buying spree in L.A. in 2016, a few years after the civil rights movement. She started from the hashtag Black Lives Matter, with fellow activists Alicia Garza and Opal Tometi began to gain traction around the world. Three of the homes were bought in Khan Colors name, and the Topanga Canyon property was purchased under a limited liability company that she controls. See, that's where it starts to get murky. Last year, Khan Colors and Khan, I guess her girlfriend or wife, whatever, were spotted in the Bahamas looking for a unit at the Albany, a real estate source who did not want to be identified, told the Post. Quote, people who buy at the Albany are buying their fourth or fifth home, said a resort worker who did not want to be identified. Well, that would make sense because they bought four houses in the last 3 years, so this would be their fifth. This is not a second home residence. It's extremely high-end, and people are coming here for complete and total privacy. Interesting. Donations and pledges from corporations and individuals poured into the movement. That was last year, throughout the last year, right? In February, the BLM nonprofit co-founded by Khan Colors told the AP, this is just recently, February, that they took in $90 million in 2020, with $21.7 million committed to grant funding and helping 30 Black-led groups across the country. Okay, let's do the math. Shall we? Just opened up my little iPhone here. 90 million minus 21.7 pledged to grant funding and helping 30 Black-led groups across the country leaves you with a balance of $68.3 million. $68.3 million. Where's that going? That's like the bail fund they set up in Minneapolis after the George Floyd murder, killing, and then they raised, I think, close to $30 million, but spent about $300,000. On bail. So where's the other $29.7 million? People making money on this. Marxists. Newsom of NYC's BLM said, we need black firms and black accountants to go in there and to find out where the money's going. He added that his group does not receive any financial support from the BLM Global Network. Yeah, there's going to be all these little folks trying to do what they believe is right all over the country, while Colors and the rest of them are just living large, like big-time capitalists, buying property all over the place. And BLM doing, I mean, this is like, look at this, up in Rochester. Rochester leaders blast BLM activists as murder spikes. Residents of Rochester, New York, stepped up last week to draw attention to the massive spike in violence and homicide in the area, blasting left-wing Black Lives Matter activists for ignoring crime when it doesn't involve police. Quote, if the police were killing us at the rate we're killing ourselves, I suspect this town would be on fire, said Rudy Rivera, CEO of Rochester's Father Lawrence Tracy Advocacy Center on North Clinton Avenue. Rochester's homicides have exploded this year, nearly tripling the number of murders recorded last year. 2 weeks ago, Rochester man Marquise Estimol, 33, was killed outside of the Advocacy Center. 20 to 30 people were there, this man dying on the floor. People walked by him like he was a cigarette butt. They robbed the young man. People took selfies while the man was dying. Please, Lord, help our culture. My goodness. Rivera noted the protesting he saw this summer in response to the death of a black man named Daniel Prude following police interaction. The activists who sparked the protests and many nights of subsequent destruction, violent rioting in the city are now nowhere to be found. When we kill ourselves, I say to myself, where are the protests lining the street? Where are the people within our own community who know what's going on here? And that's the most tragic part of this whole story. Everybody knows what's happening here, and yet it persists. Where are the voices of the activists who held press conferences nearly every day over officer-involved incidents, Rivera asked. It's a great question. Man. Pray, friends, pray. Pray for our nation. Pray for people like Mr. Rivera, who's pushing back, and the other BLM. You see a BLM leader in New York calling out their leadership for that stuff? Pray for them. Lord, give them favor. Get some justice, please. Okay. The Gaby Seeds. I actually ordered the book, so I'm going to read that to you next week. Have you visited the children's section of the public library or bookstore lately? We should be, by the way, we should be caring for our neighbors. LGBT activists are aggressively presenting their ideology in books across the children's genres. For example, in Bunny Bear, a cub feels like a bunny on the inside, so he's encouraged to embrace his bunny identity. In Worm Loves Worm, two worms get married. The dilemma, guests wonder which will wear the tux and which will wear the dress. And in Jack Not Jackie, the message to readers is choose your gender, do what feels right to you. The target age for these books, ages 4 to 8. LGBTQ activists seek to indoctrinate even younger children in ABC books such as The Gay BCs by ML Webb. B is for bi, G is for gay, L is for lesbian. The texts that follow these entries explicitly support LGBT behavior. After B is for bi, readers are told, you can shout it out loud, I like boys and girls, and that makes me proud. On the scriptures, go to Romans chapter 1 to the end of the chapter. Read the last two passages, okay? Romans chapter 1, last two passages. The letter T is for trans, the text reads. It's a brave step to take to live as the gender you know is innate, meaning who you think you were born to be. Think the books listed are exceptions? They're not. When blogger and teacher Allison McDonald created a list of books in 2013 that promote LGBT families and their lifestyle, she named 9 titles. In a 2020 post late last year, she listed 72 books. So it's growing. Why is it dangerous? Why do we care? Puberty-blocking hormones induce a state of disease. The absence of puberty inhibit growth and fertility in a previously biologically healthy child. As many as 98% of gender-confused boys and 80% of gender-confused girls eventually accept their biological sex after naturally passing through puberty. So we're going to fill them with drugs and maybe offer them surgery before that? Children who take puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones will never be able to conceive any genetically related children, even via artificial reproductive technology. Our culture aggressively warns children and teens against substance abuse, yet it promotes behavior that can lead to these serious physical and psychological issues. So what do you do in this article? If your children attend public school, find out what curriculum your school district uses. Volunteer in your local public library or the library at your child's school. Ask your child's teacher if you can participate in story time, then choose to read a book that promotes your values. Good luck with that. If they don't let you, report it. Check the recommended or required reading list for your child's grade level. Read the books your children are reading at school and discuss questionable content with them. You got to be really proactive here, friends. Ask open-ended questions about self-worth, gender, and identity. Listen to their thoughts and feelings, then express your values and why you hold them. You're still the most influential person in your child's life or grandchild. Don't hand that privilege to anyone else. You have to be aggressive because the other side is. And the devil wants nothing more to steal, kill, and destroy, especially with children in the womb or in preschool or elementary school. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you, changing gears from some of these things, the news of the day. And make sure, stay informed, get educated. Remember, you have biases yourself, so you need to have some intellectual honesty and be willing to challenge your own assertions, challenge your own positions. So you got to get educated, pray for wisdom, pray for discernment, and engage and be a part of the solution, but never forget to pray, okay? We can do all these things. We can fuss and moan and groan and do stuff, but you got to pray. Okay, if you're doing everything else but not praying, we're kind of like jumping in the car. It's all washed. It's in good shape. It's ready to go. The oil's changed, but you got no gas. No gas in the tank. And you're going to have a problem. And by the way, when it comes to your finances, do the same thing. Get educated, get prepared, and then make sure you pray. And pray for discernment and wisdom, which is why each week we talk to our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. LandmarkGold.com is their website to bring his expertise to help us understand these things. David, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, resting in the almighty hands of God.
Amen. Yep. And amen. Appreciate that as always. And when we do Money Monday updates, we start where we should start and try to get our brains and our spirits and our hearts in the right direction. We start with scripture, talking about things going on in the world. A perfect one today from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's start there and then we'll dive in.
So it says, what we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. You know, just like you, years and years ago, we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, and many of the listeners have probably done so, and maybe a few haven't, and I challenge you to do that. But as we grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior in Jesus Christ, and we understand, you know, what we have received from Christ, there's this, as we walk in the Lord earlier in our early years, there's the battle becomes stronger, and as we, over time, would hope that the battle becomes easier to fight. The battle, what I'm referring to, is between the spirit of the world and the spirit of the Lord, which the spirit of the world is, you know, tells you to operate out of hate, envy, fear, and jealousy, and other things like that, versus the spirit of the Lord operates out of forgiveness, peace, love, self-control, and the sound mind, and many other attributes of the fruits of the spirit.
Yeah.
Obviously, these lead to totally different opposite parallels. One leads to death, and not just physical death. I'm talking about it leads to a fruitful, unfruitful life, which could be in form of not being fulfilled in life, which, you know, the Lord says, I want you to have life and life more abundantly. So as we talk about these financial things, there's a difference between understanding it and operating in the I'm concerned from a it overcomes me. We should not be overcome by this, but we should be concerned about these things.
Amen.
Just like anything else gets thrown at us in life.
That's right. And I always try to encourage people and remind myself, David, to revisit your salvation, because that's what we're getting to there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is we haven't been given the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. And then you start going, okay, ask the question, be like a three-year-old. What has he given us? And you start going down the road and start talking about, not only am I invited into heaven, I'm invited to the table, and I'm a co-heir with Christ. That's Ephesians 2. You sit there and go, what? I was condemned. I was a dirtbag, and now I'm this. Wow, that's amazing, and that's why we should revisit our salvation so we can kind of regain that amazement. So much for thanks for bringing that to us, David. I always love starting with the passage of Scripture, and thanks for preparing and getting that ready for us. All right, so I missed this on 60 Minutes yesterday. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell. So what happened there?
Well, he revisits what we've been talking about, three distinct topics. Interest rates, which he said are highly unlikely to be raised this year and will remain what Steve Leisman on CNBC, you probably say this too, and I do too, that was artificially low interest rates. Second thing he talked about, which is what we talked about, is Archegos Capital. Back on March 29th, the Fed is reviewing how this one small company did such large damage and impact, causing around $30 billion of loss and losses in stocks in the financial industry mostly. And the third thing that the Fed did was talk about digital currency, something we've been talking about, the Fed's digital currency, and which alludes to China's digital currency. So those are the three main topics that the Fed talked about on 60 Minutes, and it's the same thing we've been talking about.
So why is the Fed interested in digital currency?
Well, that's the new wave of the future. And China just launched their digital currency. Since the last time I was on your show, according to Seeking Alpha, and this is going to challenge the dollar. And if the Fed is not up to speed on getting the U.S. dollar digital currency out there, which is not necessarily a good thing, not even a bad thing, but we're way behind the curve, is what Fed Chairman said when it came to launching the U.S. digital currency. And they said China is miles ahead of us. I'm paraphrasing his words.
Yeah, and so another nail in the coffin of the U.S. dollar being the world's reserve currency. And when that drops, friends, that's like a tsunami. You can see it coming. You know it's there. It's coming. But there is no way you can avoid damage because it's just too powerful. And it's just really sobering and scary to think about that. And so we need to pay attention. That's why David is here each week to try to help us understand what's going on. Low interest rates have definitely fueled the stock market and the economy, but what's going to happen? I know they're saying they're going to keep them artificially low, but what's happening out there with interest rates, and what might happen later this year?
Well, they're going to be forced to raise rates, and eventually the Fed's going to have to taper, you know, buying all the debt that the Fed's been, or that the government's been producing, called treasuries, and they're also going to be forced to raise rates. And the thing that the Fed is, you know, even though they're not concerned about inflation, what they're really terrified is debt deflation. In other words, there's good deflation, like for instance, cell phones. Obviously, they have much more technology nowadays than 10 years ago, but they're also, compared to the technology 10 years ago, they're a lot cheaper, not cheaper in price as far as the cost, but they've gone down, and this is how the Fed misappropriates inflation. They're saying technology is a lot cheaper nowadays, so therefore we don't have inflation, but the reality is phones have gone up in price over the years. And so what the Fed is concerned about is debt deflation is when the value of the debt or the bond or the treasury starts to drop and more it costs more expensive dollars to service that bond and yields rise, and yields has been rising. I mean, the 10-year treasury is at 1.676 today, and it was at a quarter of a point or a third of a point here a year ago.
Wow.
So treasury yields have been rising, and that just causes the cost of debt servicing to go up. And, you know, the debt to GDP is now north of 130%. We're going to spend another $3 to $5 trillion this year, and deflation is coming, which is actually caused 2008 problem when the systemic crisis came about. And so the Fed is trying to manage all this, and they're stuck between a rock and a hard place. They're going to be forced to raise rates, and when that happens, it's going to trigger a whole nother inflationary environment, and the cost of servicing debt will be so challenging we can't even fathom how bad that will be.
Yeah, I was reading something earlier today or yesterday about where we're going with our debt, and that in the near future, our debt service, just paying the interest on the debt, is going to be $800-900 billion a year, which in a normal year, we're $5 trillion in normal spending. We're going to double that at least this year. But in a normal year, that you're talking about 20% of your GDP of your spending of the federal government going to service the debt. I mean, it's totally insane. You mentioned a minute ago, David, is it Archegos Capital? Is that how you say that?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So that was a $30 billion loss there. There was leveraged hidden money. Help us understand that. And is that contained now? Does that keep going? Is this kind of like the derivatives crazy stuff in 2008? Or what happened there?
It is the very same thing that happened with Lehman Brothers. They were $600+ billion in assets, and they had about the same amount of money leverage. So they couldn't pay their leverage, and that's why they went under. And same thing happened with Bear Stearns. Archegos Capital, or however you want to pronounce it, is not that large. But here's the problem. There's 5,000 to 10,000 other companies that are just like them, small mom-and-pops investment companies that don't have to disclose to the SEC. And you add up those 5,000 to 10,000 companies, they're managing $6 trillion.
Wow, wow.
So Jerome Powell is, in essence, just saying this is the tip of the iceberg. We don't know how far this thing goes. And if one unwinds, it becomes a systemic problem. It could turn into that. Imagine three or four of Archegos Capitals that are leveraged four or five times, not 1-to-1 or 3-to-1 like Lehman was, and they don't have enough money, and that's why they have to do a massive fire sale. So this is why, you know, it doesn't matter if it comes out by their force through the SEC requiring them to change full disclosure, then it'll be a problem by us knowing, or if it just comes out through a manipulation of they're caught on the wrong side of the fence where they were betting legally against an asset and it moves against them. Now they got to pay for that and they don't have the money, so they got to do a massive liquidation. And that's where we're going to run into some problem either way.
Yeah, I wish that our Money Monday updates and our full Money Monday would be more cheery, but they just aren't, because there are so many factors out there. There's so many things at play that are just bad, bad, bad. Which always brings us back around for people to understand, okay, that's one end of the teeter-totter. On the other end of the teeter-totter, are your finances just sitting there ready to be hammered because somebody jumps off the other end of the teeter-totter and crashing down you go? But in terms of understanding how you use precious metals, what's the best way people can get information so that they can understand how that plays into a well-balanced portfolio?
Well, they got to call our company, The Simple Way, 844-604-2575. So 844-604-2575, or go to Landmark Gold, and they can learn about this Chinese currency coming out that was said a year ago. Everybody's going to be using it by the BBC.
Wow. Yeah, just very sobering, and we have to get educated. Pray for wisdom, pray for discernment. David, as always, thanks for bringing your expertise to the show. We appreciate you, my brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right, pal. Have a great afternoon. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
another program powered by the Truth Network.